Chapter 106 Toshio. Toshio swam hard, as the swell tried to drag him backward. He fought the current and strove for the open sea. Finally, just as he felt aching arms and legs could do no more, he reached calmer waters. With burning lungs, he turned and watched as the metal mound, now almost 2 kilometers away, sank slowly into its pit. The sinking couldn't go on. The drill tree had not completed its excavations when he and Denny had blown it apart. The island would probably settle until the shaft was plugged. Dull detonations groaned on all sides of him. Toshio treaded water and looked around. On islands in all directions, trees swayed, and not from the wind. In the distance, he saw at least 3 roiling clouds of steam and smoke rise from boiling patches in the sea. There was a growling of subsea quakes. All this because of one little bomb? In spite of all he had been through, Toshio calmly wondered about the cause of it all. With nothing left to do but choose the manner of his dying, he felt queerly liberated. What if the bomb released a vein of magma? Toshio wondered. If a volcano appeared anywhere, I'd think it would be in that drill tree shaft. But I guess the island's plugging it. The metal mound that had been his home for 2 weeks seemed to have stopped sinking. A few treetops waved above the water. Toshio wondered about the fate of Charles Dart. He couldn't imagine the chimpanzee swimming very far. Perhaps it was just as well. At least Charlie had had a clean exit. Toshio felt a bit better having rested. He began swimming again for the open sea. About 20 minutes later, there came another low rumbling. He looked around just in time to see the distant mound rocked by a terrific explosion. Dirt and vegetation flew in all directions. The mound itself heaved upward, almost out of the water, split apart, then fell back into a cloud of steam. Chapter 107 Takata Jim.
Calling battle fleet. Calling the battle fleet ahead. This is Lieutenant Takata Jim of the Terrigan Survey Service. I wish to negotiate. Please respond.
The receiver was silent. Takata Jim cursed. The radio must work. He had taken it from Thomas Orley's sled, and that human always maintained his equipment. Why weren't the Galactics answering? The longboat was designed to be run by more than one person. The sudden and unexpected disaster at the island had forced him to abandon his Stenos. Now he had no one to help him. He had to juggle 2 or 3 jobs at once. He watched the tactics display. A cluster of yellow lights were heading his way from Galactic North. It was a paltry flotilla compared with the great armadas that had come sweeping into the system only weeks ago. But it was still an awesome array of firepower. They were heading right for him. Everywhere, all was chaos. The planet was pockmarked with energy releases, boiling steam tornadoes where volcanoes emptied into the sea. And above the planet's northern hemisphere, a free-for-all battle was going on. Takata Jim increased the scale on his display and saw another fleet. It, too, had just started turning toward him. The ether was filled with a roar of voices. AM, FM, PCM. Every spot on the dial took part in the confusion. Could that explain why nobody seemed to hear him? No, the Galactics had sophisticated computers. It had to be his own equipment. There had been no time to check it all before taking off. Takata Jim nervously watched the map. He was flying into a pod of tiger sharks, hoping to negotiate Streaker's protection and eventual release. But he remembered the look on Gillian Baskin's face a week before, when he had suggested giving the ETs everything they wanted. Metz had supported him then, but the expression on the woman's face came to mind now. She had looked at him pityingly and told him that fanatics never worked that way.
They'll take all we have, thank us politely, and then boil us in oil, she had commented.
Dakota Jim tossed his head. I don't believe it. Besides, anything is better than what she plans.
He watched the tactics hollow. The First Fleet was only 100,000 clicks away now. The computer gave him data on the ships at last. They were Sorrow battlecruisers.
Sorrow. Takata Jim tasted bile from his first stomach. All the stories he had heard about them came to mind. What if they shoot first? What if they're not even interested in prisoners? He looked at his own battle controls. The armament of the longboat was pitiful, but... A claw of his harness reached over to flick on the arming switch, just for the small comfort it gave.
Chapter 108 Streaker. Now both of the larger fleets turn toward Dakota Jim.
Jillian nodded.
Keep me informed, Watasetti.
She turned.
Tisht, how long can we stay hidden by these tectonic disturbances? Our anti-G's been detectable for 5 minutes, Jillian. I don't think we can put off energy detection much longer by flying over volcanoes. If we're to make a break for it, we've got to gain altitude.
We're being scanned at long range, the detector operator snapped. A couple of ships from that battle over Orly's position are curious.
That's it, then, Tisht commented. We go for it.
Jillian shook her head.
Buy me 5 more minutes, Tisht. I don't care about the stragglers up north. Keep me hidden from the main fleets just a little while longer.
Tisht whirled through the oxywater, leaving a trail of bubbles.
Lucky Ka, steer south by southwest toward that new volcano.
Jillian stared intently at the display. A tiny blue speck showed the longboat flying toward a mass of over 30 much larger dots.
Come on, Takata Jim,
Jillian murmured to herself.
I thought I had you figured out. Prove me right.
There hadn't been a sound on the radio from the renegade lieutenant. Toshio must have done his job and sabotaged the sets on the island. The blue speck drew within 100,000 kilometers of the enemy.
Telemetry! Takata Jim's armed his weapons!
Watasetti announced. Jillian nodded.
I knew it. The fellow's almost human. He'd have to have a stronger personality than I'd ever expected. Not to do that, just for the security blanket effect. As pointless as it seemed, who would go to face an enemy with his safeties on? Now, just a little closer.
Jillian! The detector officer cried.
I don't believe it. Dakota Jim has...
Jillian smiled a little sadly.
Let me guess. Our brave vice-captain is firing on the entire battle fleet.
Tisht and Watasetti turned to look at her wide-eyed. She shrugged.
Come now. For all his faults, no one ever said Dakota Jim wasn't brave.
She grinned to hide her own nervousness.
Get ready, everybody.
Chapter 109 Dakota Jim Dakota Jim shrieked and grabbed at the toggle switch. It didn't work. The fire controls were activating without his orders. Every few seconds, a shudder passed through the little ship as a small seeker missile launched from the single torpedo tube. Small bursts of antimatter erupted from the longboat's nose, automatically aimed at the nearest alien vessel. In a lucky shot, the lead Sorrow ship blossomed open like a fiery flower unfolding. The sheer surprise of the attack had overcome defenses designed to withstand Nova heat. He cursed and tried the override. It, too, had no effect. As the Sorrow fleet began firing in return, Dakota Jim wailed and swerved the little scout into a wild series of evasive maneuvers. With the dolphin's natural three-dimensional sense, he whirled off in a high G gyration,
threading salvos that passed chillingly close.